On her 80th birthday, a woman from Brooklyn decided to prepare her last will and testament. She goes to her rabbi and makes two final requests. First, she insists on cremation. And what is your second request? The rabbi asks. I want my ashes scattered over Bloomingdale's. Why Bloomingdale's? Then I'll be sure my daughters will visit me twice a week. I guess this comes from the book of Jewish humor. I guess it's just one of the things you can get from it is don't make life harder than it needs to be. Or maybe Bloomingdale's represents commercialism. Maybe we need to be reminded of certain things lest we forget. And I think that's some of the reason why we need to be reminded each year as the church cycles move around, the church calendar moves around, and we forget. I think we forget some of the meanings. And as we study, there's always new meanings that come about. I'm going to read the typical story of Palm Sunday. But I'm in Mark, seeing how we're studying Mark, I'm going to read Mark. Mark 11, 1 through 11. As he approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing, untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven! Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with his 12. Hosanna means to save us. Today is Palm Sunday. It is one of the high events of the Easter calendar, or of the church calendar. There is a series of events in Easter, probably starts out at Ash Wednesday, and we are to remember by putting ashes on our forehead. If you so indulge into this, some do, some don't. You put a cross on your forehead, and it's to remind us that dust we are and dust we shall return, and we are to repent and believe in the good news. Palm Sunday is about victory and peace, the triumphal entry of God's kingdom, which we're going to talk about. Maundy Thursday is about the Last Supper. Good Friday is about the crucifixion. And Easter is about the resurrection, and Pentecost is about the giving of God's Spirit back to humanity. We somehow seem to have a closed loop somewhat in the church calendar. We simply continue to have a series of events, and we come back around, and we come back around. And I sometimes think that we kind of forget that there is something more to all these events. It's kind of for me, the Bible is about laying out a beginning, and it goes through a series of events. It's not necessarily cyclical, but it explains why things are the way they are. There's a plan of salvation for humanity, and in the end, we will live forever in the kingdom of God. Abraham Herschel said this, all events are secretly interrelated. The sweep of all we are goes The sweep of all we are doing reaches beyond the horizons and our comprehension. I think sometimes we forget the depth and the meaning of the events that we go through each year and each year and each day, and we kind of become blasé and relaxed about it. We kind of forget that there is a deep meaning that reaches far beyond. It's not cyclical in nature. It reaches out far beyond. Abraham Lincoln said this: "I claim not to have controlled events, but confess plainly that events have controlled me." An interesting way of looking at how events in our lives change us and move us along and control us. We all have events that happen in our lives, and they control us to some extent. That's what Abraham Lincoln is saying, that he was living in kind of a hindsight thing, but not really. Frederick Schiller said this: "So often do the spirits of great events strive on before the events, and in today already walks tomorrow." So a lot of what we do is affects tomorrow. A lot of these events in which we celebrate do affect our tomorrow. And the one that is was written by someone who was anonymous: "It is by observing the flow of events in a large time frame that we are sometimes able to discern their direction." And that's kind of the direction I would like to go to, move in the larger picture. As you know, I'm a person who likes to look at the larger picture of things. Various different messages along the way. I think sometimes we concentrate too much on the events, and we forget there's a larger picture involved. Why are we celebrating Palm Sunday and Easter and all the events? What does it mean? Christmas and all this, and Pentecost. Where does it all come from? Why are we doing it? Well, I believe, as Jesus talked, that he says that the kingdom of God was not here on this earth. His kingdom, which was misunderstood as he came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, was misunderstood. They assumed that he was going to take a position of power such as David a long time ago, and they were going to be freed from the Romans, and they were going to be, once again, the Jewish people would become a mighty power. But all through the Jesus' teachings, he talks about that his kingdom is not here of this earth. And it is something that I think we don't quite understand, even into a lot of our theology within the churches. We think everything is centered around the earth. As you know, I'm a big picture person. I'm a person who thinks that at this point in time, my view is changing somewhat. I'm developing it along the way. That there is a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we want to get to the tree of life. That's where we want to go. So I believe, as I said last Sunday, that we live in a multi-universe infinity. That this duality in which we live in, this universe, which is based on a duality, may go on forever. But we want to go over here and live in the tree of life forever. That's where we want to go. That's a big idea. And it's all within an infinity of God, infinity. We don't know exactly how we're going to get there, but as the story of Abraham, which I'm going to point to, is that the story of Abraham and the Israelite people getting to the promised land right from the very beginning of the Bible, soon after the beginning of the Bible within Genesis, points to that we want to leave this land and go to another land. So if I draw back from the story and look at it a little bit more, the Israelite people wanted to move out of Egypt, across the Sea of Reeds, into the desert, across the Jordan River, into the promised land. So there was two times they had to cross water. And so that's us. We're living here in the land of Egypt, or you can say we're living in the desert. I mean, you can go either way, but we needed help to get across the river. Both, we need help to get from here to the tree of life. We can't do it on our own. And that's where Jesus comes in, providing a way. In the case of the Israelite story, the waters were divided, the people walked across, a way was provided. The same way when they finally went into the promised land with Joshua, the waters again were divided and they walked through. A way was provided. It was not for man to provide. We can't do it. So the story of the Israelite people depict what the theme of the Bible is. It's leaving this place and ending up over here, wherever there is. In my analogy, it's in another universe, in a tree of life. I'm not exactly sure it's going to happen here. I don't understand. I think that's kind of I'll just leave that alone. I think that we need to think a little bit bigger. We need to draw back a little bit bigger and see that God is infinite. And there's a lot more going on than just our lives. Even though our lives are very important, and what we believe and what we think is very important, and God does see us, there is a super big picture. And the Bible supports that big picture. How many times have we stood at the edge of a field and looked out across the field and wondered, where does it all end? I go out and walk my dog behind my house and go up the hill and I look up and down the valley and I think, wow, where does it all end? The beauty of all that we see, the field that could plant anything and grow anything. And that's what the story of the Israelite people was. It was a land in which they would enter. It wasn't a place, but it was a field or a land that is going to be productive. All these things are symbolic of something more. We should read the Bible not in such a literal sense. Yes, we should understand it literally, but we should understand it figuratively and understand what the symbols mean. And that's what we're going to go into the text here in a second and look at it. And I'm going to ask the question that I ask every year. And I'll bet no one's going to remember. I'll get to it. I've been asking this question every year since I've been here. We'll see if anybody answers it in a minute. It's a field. It's a place. It's a productive place. The Bible talks many passages of this is not, Jesus says, this is not my kingdom. This is not my world here. It's in some other place. Also, Luke says that Jesus says the kingdom is within us. I believe that to be true. The kingdom is within us. As I said many times, within the spaces of our molecules, the Spirit of God can live. I can, in that way, it helps me to understand how a presence can live within me, but yet I'm still physical. We are more space than we are matter. And so the Holy Spirit can live within that space very easily, and that helps me understand some things. I'm a little thick. Sometimes I have to have simple illustrations to understand some of these things, and this helps me understand how God can live within me, even though I'm a human being, because I'm more space than I am matter. And it's very easy for God to live within me. The problem is I don't always pay attention. What is the story of Palm Sunday? I had a little discussion with Shane here at the beginning. I'm not quite sure that Palm Sunday was really on Sunday. We're not sure. We're going to have to dig into it a little bit more and figure out why, if it was really Palm Sunday. The question I ask is why Jesus would have went in Sunday after the day of the Sabbath. The question we talked about is, did the sacrifices happen on the Sabbath? Well, neither one of us could figure out for sure if they did. I almost believe, but I have no proof of this and no evidence of this so far, that Jesus would have entered into the city Friday, knowing that the Sabbath was coming. If you were an expected king to take over, then you would enter and be there at the time of their high day, which would have been Sabbath. Because the very next thing on the next page in chapter 11 that Jesus does is he throws out the money changers. And the question him and I had was, does that happen on the Sabbath? We weren't sure. Does anybody know? We weren't sure that sacrifices happened on the Sabbath. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I will dig into it and find out. So why and what is the symbolic meaning of Jesus riding a colt? Does anybody remember? Come on, Carol. Yeah, you're close. That's part of it. And a horse. Yeah. Anybody else want to add something to it? The story, the illustration is that, and the symbolic meaning is that when war was over, they would send back a person either riding or during a war off in the distance. They didn't have cell phones, so they couldn't text. They couldn't do all this kind of stuff that we think, you know, get on the phone and, you know, send a, you know, do dot thing to the, back to the village. They had as meanings. So if a horse was riding back from the edge of war, riding fast and swiftly, it means that they were in trouble. They needed more reinforcements. And so as quickly as you can, you would get the reinforcements to come back. So you would ride as swiftly as you can. But if there was peace, there was no need to be in a hurry. So you rode a donkey or a mule. Well, it wasn't a mule, it was a donkey. And so you would wobble your way back through, and people would look out across the horizon and they'd say, ah, there's peace. So the idea that was being portrayed by the two different animals was that one that was war was in trouble, and one was peace. So Jesus rode the donkey because it portrayed peace. Why a colt? So the donkey portrays an idea. So why a colt? Because it was an idea that Jesus brought to the world that was never brought before. So by riding a colt for the first time, it was brought into reality, a new idea, and the symbolism that goes with that. They threw branches down and they put their cloaks on, what we would call coats or cloaks or whatever you want to call them. First, the idea that they had palms, I found out, was not what happened. For some reason, wherever they were at, there was no palm, so they went out into the field, it says, and got branches. I'm not quite sure where I have it. That one kind of, when I just this morning and last night and whatever, when I was looking at it, I said, now I wonder what that means. Well, actually, Jesus was referred to in the Old Testament as being the branch. So I'm not sure. I haven't made that really a good connection to that. I'm still developing that. I'm still studying a lot of this stuff. So it's an ongoing thing for me. All these things are ongoing. Symbolism is something that has an endless meaning, and you can develop it and develop it and develop it, and it goes on forever, almost, I guess, as far as I know. So there was no palms the way we think there were. Palms are for peace. That was added later on, from what I gather. But it was branches that they just broke off of trees and threw it down. To put one's cloak down and for Jesus to ride on top of it is meaning that you're giving up your power. A symbolism that you're giving up your kind of a personal power, and you're saying you're being in dominion, Christ's dominion over you. So that is a symbolism that in the sense that they threw their cloaks down and they rode on them. So Christ became the ruler. I will probably ask this question again next year again. I understand. That's why we need to be reminded all the time. I myself, I have to constantly be reminded all the time. I forget more than a lot more than I read and learn. And it's human. That's where we are, human. Hosanna in the highest heaven. The passage comes from I think a Psalms. Hosanna means save us. So it was about hollering and waving and saying that to Jesus to save us. Blessed is the one that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. So they understood it to be a political power rising up, a physical power rising up, I think maybe some people knew or understood the idea of the kingdom of David, but I don't think too many of them did. They thought that they were going to resurge in power, and they were going to rule over the world again. And Christ was going to set up his kingdom and rule on this earth. And that is still, that idea is still today taught in a lot of theology, denominational theology, that everything happens here on this earth. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, da, 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 on and on it goes. I don't quite see it quite that way. I think things are much bigger than that. And I think we need to start looking at it in a bigger way, in a bigger sense. Jesus entered the temple, and when he went into the temple court, he looked around, and everything there, it was already late, and everybody was gone. There's where I start drawing the question about what day was it. And I'm not sure. I can't tell you for sure. I think these are days, the Easter season, what I call the Easter season, are the most important days that for the Christian faith and for the world. Whether we understand them not or not totally, we still struggle to try to understand them. I believe in the end, the resurrection and Pentecost as being the most important days of the Easter season. Resurrection means that each one of us will rise. Pentecost means that the Holy Spirit is given back to humanity, and or at least it struggles with humanity some more. We have to decide, I think, in some ways what that means. That's a wide open subject. Easter, sometimes I think we are caught up in the commercialism of it, the eating of the rabbit and the candy. All these things have symbolic meaning. They were brought in by people who were converted into Christianity, and they do have jelly beans, and all these things have symbolic meaning. If you care to look them up, there is a spiritual meaning. Yes, they were once a pagan idea. They were converted over to a Christian idea, and they have Christian ideas behind them. All of it has symbolic meaning. Everything, the reeds, everything we do around Easter. I would challenge each one of us as we go through this Easter season to take the time and look up what these things mean. Contemplate on them. They affect you, your spiritual life, tremendously. Take time, and may God find peace and victory in our lives. Amen.
We've come to the time of service where we take up the morning offering. For those who are visiting, you feel under an obligation to participate. The service is not here to you. And for those of you who consider the new camp to be your church home, we thank you for your great faithfulness and to participate financially in that way to support us in ministry. Thank you. pray, Father, that you would use it in honor and glory to you, that your word be spread throughout the whole land. We pray, Father, that we remember it's not just the money we give as the offering, but our time, our talents, our ability, our lives, all should be given to you as an offering. You did to the honor of your God, all of us, through our precious Son's holy name. Amen.